thank you to my sponsors of this podcast, Little Dish, who make delicious kids' meals and help to make family life and feeding kids less stressful. Welcome to How to Feed with Charlotte Sterling-Reed, the parenting podcast which offers reassurance, confidence, and advice on how to feed your baby, toddler, and your whole family. We're sponsored by the wonderful guys at Little Dish and recording the podcast today from their headquarters. So a big thank you to them for hosting us. Today, we are speaking to a viral sensation about all things vegetables and how you can make mealtimes fun and get the whole family involved, about what to do when your little one hits the dreaded beige stage, and finally, how you and your own relationship with food can be passed on to your little ones. So with all that in mind, I am so pleased to welcome to the podcast Instagram superstar Imogen Horton. Imogen, thank you so much for being here and coming on my podcast today.
I'm so excited to be on here. Honestly, and I just say, I'm such a fan girl as well, because Charlotte has literally helped me with, oh God, with both my babies. And without you, I honestly wouldn't have known how to navigate anything. You've been such a support, but your books have been, like, even now, we'll obviously go into it, but even now when we have certain days where maybe my toddler's being fussy and stuff, we go back to the books. Spencer's still making the carrot muffins, which are my favourite things in the world. Okay. And just having that stability and that core to always refer back. Honestly, you've helped me so much.
Honestly, that makes me so happy because that is exactly what I want those to be there for. And you know, on this podcast here, what I'm trying to do with this is I want people to feel the reassurance. So, you know, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to bring you on. You're so honest and you're so open. And can I just say, I absolutely love what you do on your page.
We love each other.
There's so much love right now. But I love how you share the honest, relatable, and also how, you know, you're so 100% yourself. And I'm sure a lot of your followers love that as well. But for anyone who doesn't already follow you and who is missing out big time, do you want to do a little bit of an intro to who you are, family, kids, of that?
Okay, so my name's Imogen. I started YouTube about 7 years ago. That was my thing. I graduated from uni, did an acting musical theatre degree, and was like, oh goodness, where do I go with this? Long story short, I'll cut all of that out. But now I am a mum of two. I do social media for a living, which is incredible. I definitely feel even more grateful now to do what I do, having children, because I feel very, very lucky to be able to watch them and see things. And I know how privileged that is to be able to be at home with them. It's hard sometimes, of course, because I'm trying to work and then they're, you know, but I'm so grateful. So yes, I just document my life, really. I was talking to my husband actually about it the other day, how my channel definitely completely took a pivot becoming a mum. And I didn't really know where I was. I used to do makeup. That was my thing. And then who has the time to do makeup sometimes, especially being, you know, with two. So I've done it today though. So I'll make the most.
Beautiful.
It's because I haven't got anyone with me, so I've got to make the most of it. But and now I just actually get to be myself. I get to dance in the living room, which I did before I even filmed it. I get to do funny little acting things with my husband. And I just feel like I'm very lucky now that I get to feature them, not heavily, you know, it's not completely around them, but be a mum, be a working mum, but also get to just do whatever I you know, I want. And that's a lovely thing to be
and
able to
share
just
the realities of
it. Oh gosh.
And
yes.
I wanted to ask you, why do you think that it took such a pivot when you became a mum? Why do you think that is a turning point? And why do you think so many people want to follow mums on Instagram and see that reality?
Yes, I do. I was actually at an event the other day and we were talking about how Instagram needs more reality. But I was also talking to some other people who were explaining that it's just a really hard one because being raw, being open, being honest is an amazing thing and it heals people, it shares, it helps because, God, we all need that. But it's really hard because the minute you are open, the minute you are honest and raw, you do open yourself up and sometimes you have to protect yourself, but then I just can't filter. So I should protect myself more and probably be a bit more like, but I actually hope that I can help people. I don't think I could be any different.
One of the other things that you show that I find amazing and I love from my perspective is the ups and downs of it all, but even to do with eating and mealtimes. So I know you've shared that really honestly. How is feeding in your family at the moment? What are mealtimes looking like for you right now?
Well, we're getting, to be fair, where we're at right now is a lot more positive than we were, I'd say, a couple of months ago. Renalia was, oh wow. I'm lucky both my babies have been amazing eaters. Sorry, I've got a 2.5-year-old, she's 3 in September, and I've got a 10-month-old and she's 11 months on the 11th. So I don't know when this is going up, but she's 1 in August. So I've got a September and August baby. Different temperaments, completely different humans. Like, wow, just they're always going to be different. But both of them weaned beautifully. the baby-led weaning thing was just, it was just beautiful.
Yeah.
Any person that would see them would be so fascinated by them picking up their food. And it was a beautiful thing because my parents did that without really knowing much, but also wished they'd done more. And they really got to join this journey. But then we hit sort of the toddler stage. And I know so many people listening will be able to relate to this. It was like, my baby would eat mackerel for breakfast. Mm. She was eating everything, you know, spicy foods, everything, not too spicy, but salmon, she'd eat everything. And then suddenly was like, oh, all I want is beige. And I was like, oh, honey, what are we going to do here then? Because it was very like, I just want pasta. I want cheese toasties. I want cheese separated from the bread. It was very, very particular. And at the time we were like, oh my goodness, all you think about when you're a parent is sleeping, they're sleeping and they're eating. Yeah. It seems to be the most, the hugest topic of conversation because you're like, they're not eating enough. But I realized that the pressure I was putting on myself to give her this food and, you know, make her eat it, she's never going to eat it. So what I've done is what you've suggested to me, and this was the best thing you could ever suggested, because putting it in front of their face and letting them smell the smells, eating that food, you know, we're not going to let her go hungry. If she's not eating that food, she went through a really funny stage of anything with sort of a red sauce, bolognese's, anything with lentils, anything that was saucy. So what we did was we would make her a separate food, but not offer it straight away. So she could have her meat separate to her pasta. But we would offer her the meat and we would say, can you just try it? You don't know unless you try it. And she would say, no. But eventually sometimes she'd give in. And actually my husband, I wish he was here today because he could tell you something that has helped us so much. I know this is going to sound so random, but you know that, I'm going to butcher it, aren't I? Is it a what's the thing the doctors use? A stethoscope.
I was thinking tethoscope when you said that.
He now listens to her belly when she's eaten something, and we know what she's eaten because we've been with her all day.
Yeah.
So he'll be like, wow, you've had this. You had porridge with a bit of flaxseed, almond butter. And she's like, oh, is it still in there? Oh, my flies are running low.
Looking down at the tummy.
Oh, but anyway, now she eats more because she wants him to listen to her belly. And honestly, she'll say no to that meal and she will eat it because she wants it, even if it's three mouthfuls. But offering her the food has been the best thing, because yes, we will substitute it, but we don't, well, I know it sounds bad, but we manipulate it a little bit. We won't say, okay, here, have the food you want. We will say, do you know what, actually, you've smelt that enough and you've looked at it enough and you've tried a little bit. Mummy's going to actually make you have the other one now. So I make it seem like I've got the control. We realized quite early on that it's all this control power balance that they want. They want to know she'll give in.
It is this fight. Can be,
So sometimes Spencer would say I'd undermine him a bit. So now what I do is sometimes Spencer might be a bit more, he's maybe probably the badder cop than me, but it needs to be. And we both are on the same page, but maybe sometimes he'll say, oh no, you need to eat that. And then what I will say is I'll go and speak to him and I'll say, daddy has forgotten that you've got the tortellini pasta. And he'll be like, oh yeah. And he'll give it to her. So no one's been undermined. She'll still eat it. But in that fussy stage, we really realize that there are certain things she does love and they are healthier. So we did give her that quite a lot. So, you know, sometimes you've got to stick with what you know.
So you focus on the foods that you feel that she is enjoying at that time.
So pastas, we'd swap them out for brown rice pastas or other pastas, which we felt were getting a bit more fiber into her because we knew she'd eat pasta. But we try and get the better pasta, you know. She loved salmon. We'd give her a lot of salmon. She loved cucumbers. We'd make sure every plate had the things she liked. And I felt like that's where we're kind of coming out of it. But sorry, I do keep speaking.
No. I love it. It's really fascinating. And I think, you know, you've touched on so many important points here, like the fact that, you know, you and Spencer are working together on it. The fact that, you know, quite often when children go through fussy phases, it's because they want some control. They're trying to get their own independence. And like you said, I can't tell you the number of families who, you know, I see they'll say exactly what you said. My little one ate so well. And all of a sudden they've hit those toddler years and boom, they're starting to be really picky about what they will eat. And the first thing I always try and say to parents is it's so, so, so normal. Like it really is expected. And hopefully, you know, you could see that when you were kind of going through it. You knew it was bound to happen. But, you know, was it specific things that Renelia was fussy about? Was it like the way it was served? Or, I mean, it sounds like she did eat quite a variety, like whole grain pasta and salmon. So there was still plenty of variety, but for you, she just really limited.
Nothing with the sauce.
Okay, nothing
with the sauce. Yeah. And what we started doing now is giving her a bit of passata and letting her put it on her food.
Love that.
And she loves it.
Yeah.
She loves that level of independence. We got her different plates, and it sounds silly, but we let her choose her own plates. Disney princess ones, she loved them. Mm. Her own cups, things like that allowed her to have choices that when it came to the food, and we rode it out. We rode it out. She wasn't going to bed hungry. We rode it out and we gave her what she liked, but also we would always offer. We would always offer our food, let her sit in front of it, tell her that there isn't any other options until we've looked in the fridge, or maybe someone, the fairies, come to drop some stuff off. So made it a bit more exciting. And actually it was the sauces, but I do think it must be something to do with like a sensory. They hit this age and they're like, I don't like that texture. It could be anything like that. And I really do believe that they do come back round. So I do think if there's anyone listening that's really thinking that their child's just going to live off cheese sandwiches or bread forever, they won't. They actually just won't. They were once a really good eater. And even if they weren't a good eater, their palates changed all the time. I remember when my dad was a chef growing up, and I loved all food but pies. I never liked pastry. I loved a croissant, but I didn't like pies. I found it thick. I found it stodgy. And my dad would homemade these pies for 8 students and his kids. We were living with students at the time. And I remember him making us sit there until we left the table. And that was their approach.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, fair play to them, because that's the way they did it. And we ate it in the end. And they'd say, you know, there are people else, you know. And I think it's because they had difficult upbringings. They take us to see homeless people. We'd always give food after dinner. My parents would always make sure any leftovers were taken. And he'd always show us how grateful people were to eat it. And I know we're not going into that now. I get it. But I really do believe that my parents have definitely... You know, they lived a different life. It was different back then. And we're much more open with things now. But yeah, I just think we all go back to those foods, don't we? And even if, I mean, I like pie now. I love pie. I love pie. Things That's change. Thing. Our palate changes. Even in my age, I'm 31. 2 years ago, I started liking different things. You know, pregnancies can change your food. And all the, so it's just know that. Hang in there, because
Do you think we're keeping on offering? Was that something that worked for you?
I do think, because I do think they need to see positive eating. So all of us eating at the dinner table really helped. I do think as well, seeing her baby sister eat those foods, because we all eat the same. Orivella has our food except the salt. And she eats everything. But I've noticed just lately as well, she's obviously in this stage where she got a bit fussy with food that she loved. So I was a bit like, oh, she loves her porridge. She loves that. She loves her pasta with lentils and leeks and all these things. But I now know she wanted to take it out of the pot herself. So when we leave it on the plate, she just chucks the plate sometimes. So then sometimes we hold it and then we realize she wants to do it. So the messy play, the sensory, yes, it gets everywhere, but she eats. She loves it. So she wanted the independence, and she's only nearly 11 months. She wanted to put the spoon of the Greek yogurt in her mouth and feel it all and touch it. And you know what? It's quite nice for me, because I don't have to do a tough tray. So she can just have it on the...
I love it. And I think I talk a lot about that way of eating, where you're kind of offer a variety, you let children explore, because it does offer that independence. And it sounds like that's very much what you've done. So you mentioned about having like different courses and different options that Renelia can help herself to. And the thing with kids as well is that they can't tell you what they want. That is amazing that you've discovered, you know, what Arabella wanted in those situations. So you've been able to work it out. But quite often we see children refusing food, turning the head away, pushing the plate away, crying. And we immediately almost think they don't want this, or they're not going to like this food anymore. I'm not going to offer it again. Whereas what you're saying is that actually you do keep offering, you eat together, you've kept trying similar foods. And also you've allowed them ways to explore it in different ways. So buffet meals, feeding themselves. And I think that is really important, because you are giving them that independence without allowing them to completely take control of the mealtime, and still following the, we decide what they eat, but let them decide how much they want.
I mean, it's like eggs. Renelia was completely off them, loved her omelets, she would have one every morning. not every single morning, but just loved her eggs. And I was like, this is a guaranteed set. And yeah. Oriavella hates eggs. Mm. And I'm like, egg is in everything. Egg is in so much. Not that she's allergic to it, but she just, anything that has any egg, I've tried every egg. I still offer it to her. She still picks it up, puts it in her mouth, spits it out, but the flavour went in. And I'm like, that's a small win. That's a small win. And now Renelia's back on her omelets. She stands up at the kitchen counter, cracks them with Spencer, washes her hands, gets really excited with that. And I just think it's just parenting is one big constant. I feel like that's why we stay young. Because it's just, we're kept constantly on edge.
Yeah, exactly.
Just constantly.
Trying to figure them out the whole time, isn't it?
But nursery is a funny one as well, because my toddler goes to nursery. And actually the food dishes are formulated by you.
Oh, Zebedee's.
Yes,
oh,
Zebedee's.
Amazing. Oh,
so Renelia will say no to those foods at home.
Okay.
But at nursery, they say, how old are you, Renelia? And she says 2, nearly 3.
Yeah.
And they say, okay, if you don't like it, you have to eat 3 spoonfuls.
Okay.
And she eats them.
Okay.
But comes back to, and they'll tell me what she's eaten in the day. And I'm like, she knows who to play. She
Love
knows
it.
Who to play.
And do you know what? One of the really common things I hear is kids who eat really well at nursery, but just won't eat the same foods at home. Mm-hmm. And parents pulling their hair out. But it's, you know, it's so much about environment. Mm-hmm. And I think you talked about a little bit touched on the fact that, you know, in previous generations, there was a lot more pressure for us to eat, wasn't there? There was this kind of, you must finish your plate or you must eat these. How do you feel that your kind of mealtime environments are at the moment? Would you say that, because, you know, I like to talk a lot about them being pressure-free and making them fun and great environments. I mean, how do you try and kind of do that at mealtimes? It sounds like you do a lot. And I mean, I know you're a form performer.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm actually very lucky that my husband is in the kitchen. So I actually sit with the children. I make sure, sometimes, I'm going to be honest with you, me and Spencer might be rushing our food. And that is something we do because it is a little bit stressful when Oriavella obviously isn't talking. She is a gannet. Mm. The girl eats. Oh my God. It's amazing.
I love
but
that.
It's just, sometimes I'm like, can you overeat? She wants food all the time and she still wants to feed me, but she does this thing where she grunts a lot. She's a grunty baby. She's been a grunty baby since she was born. I remember thinking, do I need to wear earplugs to sleep? Because she'd sleep through, but I thought she was awake. She's grunting. So she will grunt for more food. And then you're like, I can't really enjoy my food. So I'm getting up to get her the pudding. But I do find that it is a little bit of a high pressure environment sometimes. But when it's chilled and when they're both eating, it's such a wonderful thing. And I always compliment, I always praise. And I know some people are out here saying that we can overpraise our kids. Don't come to my household then, because I am very, that is just me as a person. But I just love telling them, I'm like, wow, this is great eating, girls. And you know what? It's such a beautiful thing. Children love praise. They love to know that they're doing a great thing by eating good food. And I say about how daddy made this and that's mixed with this. And I just think the more we include them, but sometimes mealtimes have been stressful, especially when Renelia is constantly refusing it. I'm not going to lie and sit here and paint a perfect picture, because it has been stressful.
I think that's important to show because I think so many parents will really relate to that mealtime. And I think especially, you know, I found it really hard when we had two to feed, and you're thinking, hold on, I've got to feed both of you. I've got to keep my eye on both of you and I've got to feed myself and I've got to make sure that I'm offering a nice variety. It's a massive amount of pressure for us, I think, as parents, right?
Mealtimes. Like, when we were weaning Oriavella, obviously she wasn't eating our meals straight away. She was having, you know, your set books. It was like broccoli then, you know, all those things. Yeah. So then Spencer was actually making basically three dishes, because ours obviously had salt in it. She wasn't eating it yet. Then we'd have Oriavella's weaning stuff and then Renelia would be eating different.
Completely.
And we'd be like, you know, so we try to just make it as easy as possible.
But what would you say to parents who are in the thick of that? Because I actually found that, I myself found it, and I'm, you know, this is the field I work in. And I remember waking up in the morning thinking, how am I going to feed both kids and myself today? Mm-hmm. And it is quite stressful, you know, and it's, you know, it's so amazing.
And you don't
have
really
Spencer
as a parent
around.
Sometimes, because like the other day, Spencer doesn't really, he's really like, I want you to eat. Oh, but when I'm eating and they want to eat my food, oh goodness, they're eating my food.
Yeah.
Because they're my babies. And if they're eating, I am happy.
Yeah.
So like the other day, they'd already had so many, they'd already eaten, I think Oriavella was having sardines or something absolutely so smelly on her fingers. And then she came over and started taking a spoon to my porridge, because I was sat down playing with them. And then they both came over to my porridge and were having it. And I was like, okay. And it was actually gone. And Spencer was like, no, mummy needs to eat. And I was like, no, darling. Do you know what? They can eat, but the anxiety, if anyone is listening and they're in the thick of it,
yeah.
Oh, it's stressful. It is stressful. It is. You've got to make sure that you do prioritize yourself though, because you can't, this is one thing I have realized definitely with two, you need to keep going, because if you fall apart, then everyone falls apart.
Completely.
So you do need to prioritize yourself, but it's all a stage, isn't it? Mm. It's all a stage. Everything's a stage. Like I, very different and off topic, but I was up with my daughter, and I have been up with my daughter. She did do a big chunk of sleep from like 11 months. She slept through the night, got very ill at like 14 months, went on steroids. It was really difficult. Mm. And then she slept again, and then hit two, all this language came. And we're very much in the thick of it of not sleeping. And I know this sounds silly because you're allowed to moan, but perspective is a beautiful thing. Yeah. And I don't want to sound like that parent, because I don't want anyone to ever feel like they can't be moaning.
Or feel overwhelmed.
Oh my goodness, we're allowed to. Yeah. Like, you know, you can sit next to someone with a broken arm and still moan about your paper cut.
Yeah.
Like, you're still allowed to be in that moment. But I sat there, and it's the only way that gets me through some of these sleepless nights. I'm sitting there thinking, this is so hard, this is so hard, this is so hard. And sometimes my, you know, I'm building and I'm so tired. And the anger sometimes, I'm like, oh my God, keep it in, because, you know, I'm so knackered.
Yeah.
And then I think to myself, there would be a million, more than a million people that would give anything up to be back
to
in
be
this.
Right now,
sorry, I'll start crying in a minute, but there will be anyone that would give their anything back to be in this moment with their child or whatever. So I know we're allowed to moan, and goodness, I moan.
Yeah.
But perspective helps me.
Mm.
And it might not help everyone, but for me, I'm like, okay, they're not eating this, but how lucky are we to be able to give them food
that
one day they will eat?
Absolutely.
And we live in a very fast-paced life now where everything is so accessible. And I think our parents, my parents especially, grew up with nothing that they made me appreciate food. And yeah, okay, they made me sit at the dinner table and eat my food, but I'm really glad they did that, because my taste buds are so wild now. Mm. You know, I eat everything.
Well, you and Spencer are real foodies as well, aren't you? You love your food.
It's our thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're listening to How to Feed with Charlotte Sterling Reed, sponsored by Little Dish.
I grew up with parents who cooked constantly, who loved doing it. It was like they did it for enjoyment.
And
even
now
I go around sometimes to my parents and they'll be cooking something. And I'm like, who are you cooking that for? And they're like, don't know, just making it. So they love food. And I grew up to love food. And I do think that that has a knock-on effect. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I always try and let parents know, because I know how overwhelming it is. Mm-hmm. I know how kind of trying to tick every single bit of advice and make sure that you've got a balanced diet and three meals a day and everyone's fed and everyone's happy. Mm-hmm. It's just not realistic. Mm-hmm. And I think I love that you said, that, you know, right in this thick of the moment, you almost have to pick your battles with some things. And sometimes those meals are going to be overwhelming and they're not going to be going to plan. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. And I think as parents, do you think we look at the minutiae of every day and judge ourselves and guilt ourselves? And
especially like, mums, I can't talk for Spencer because my husband, I don't know whether he's an anomaly, but he just doesn't feel guilt. It's a wonderful thing. He doesn't really.
No, my husband doesn't feel guilt.
It's a wonderful thing.
No.
Thank God he doesn't, because if we both did, we wouldn't leave the house. We'd both be just sitting in like this pity of
holding the kids.
Yeah, like,
doing whatever they want.
But yeah, I do. I overanalyze the day, and I'm not, oh God, if you're listening to this thinking I've got my SHIT, I'm not going to swear, but if I've got that together, then I don't. You know, there's so many days where we're like, this is overwhelming and my goodness. But you focus on what's good. I know this sounds silly, but if my children are drinking water, I'm like, good.
Yeah.
They've got water in them. They've got food in them. I know they've got food in them. They're not malnourished. They've got things that they are accessible to eat, and there's things that they can eat. But how much do we overanalyze
everything?
How much do we feel rubbish about everything?
Everything.
But I bet they've eaten something. I bet if we're overanalyzing something, we're like, oh my God, they didn't eat this, they didn't eat that.
Yeah.
I bet they ate something.
Yeah, exactly.
And if there's one meal that you can get something in them that's good. I always find that Renee eats lots at breakfast, less at lunch. Mm. And then when she's been at nursery, she loves a big dinner. Mm. But sometimes when she's with me off on the days, she doesn't eat a massive dinner, but she's picking, she's snacking throughout the day.
That sounds so like Ada.
Yeah.
She's really like, she never really liked breakfast. And I was so baffled by it, because Raffy was a massive breakfast eater. And even now you could keep giving him portions and he's like, yep, still going. Whereas Ada gets bored. She'll eat a few bits and then she'll be like, I finished, mum. And then she gets down and Raff just stays at the table like, I'm not leaving this. So they're so different. Yeah. And I think, it's so hard for us to not analyze everything and, you know, have they had all their fruit and veg? Have they had enough fiber? You know, sometimes parents write to me and they'll ask, you know, oh, I've read your blog about iron and I know they need to get this amount. And I've had a look at how much they're having today and I don't think it's enough. And it's really hard to say, But try not to worry mm-hmm. about that tiny little detail mm-hmm. because exactly like you said, mm-hmm. they are loved, they mm-hmm. are fed, they're being offered a variety of mm-hmm. three different meals a day. We're doing our best. They're going to be okay, you know.
Well, the I think fact that's that people so actually important. Care that much, I think it's a wonderful thing that you are getting so many people saying, I need them to get this. Because yeah. goodness, those children are loved.
Yeah, exactly. You're doing enough just by asking that question.
Some children, let's be completely honest, some children aren't even fed. Mm. They're not fed. Yeah. The fact that you care so much that they're getting yeah. their things in is a beautiful, beautiful thing. They will grow up to know and love food.
Yeah, exactly.
It just might take them longer. We were speaking earlier about Absolutely. It, about how everything can be developmental. You know, my toddler doesn't sleep. My baby slept through from 2 months. Did I do anything different? Absolutely not. Yeah. I wasn't any more chilled. Yes, she needed to slot in a little bit, but I do think we all come to things in our own time. Mm. You know, my little brother is 20 and I definitely think my little sister who's 13 is maturity levels beyond him in every single sense of the word. But I know one day it will click for him and he will realize that he doesn't have to prove to be this big man, lad, whatever. But some people just go through things Completely. Slower, quicker.
Yeah.
And I do think comparison is the thief of joy. And that's why it's so important to have podcasts like this and so important to be honest and open on social media, because that's the reality of some people. Listen, if you have two amazing eaters, three amazing eaters, one amazing eater, brilliant, amazing. Mm. But some people don't. And that's also still amazing because that's your child.
Yeah.
You know, the harder we try, I sometimes think, the more you try and force something, and I think it breaks.
Yeah.
I think the more you go, do you know what, today I'm going to take that small win.
Exactly.
Not worry
that.
About that
yeah.
one.
Yeah.
And try and just... We go another day. I always say it's another day. And don't compare your ex child to a Y child. We all have different children.
Because like you say, you know, we're talking today about our four children who are all very different with their sleep, their eating, their behaviours when they walk, they talk, they crawled. And I mean, honestly, if there's a message that I want to get across to parents, it is that. And that, you know, it's one of the reasons why I really wanted to have you on, because I know you are so honest and you're so truthful about it. And you're also such a loving mum. And
it's almost
to say, you know, children, that's what they need. Mm-hmm. And yes, the food matters. And obviously I love talking about food and, you know, I give ideas and support in my book, but exactly like you say, it isn't about that kind of that little minutiae. Mm-hmm. It's about the overall well-being. It's about the environment. So, you know, you and Spencer cooking, eating together, not putting pressure on, making food enjoyable, fun. You talked about things like, you know, different cups that help to make, you know.
Yeah. We even bought her little mini kitchen from her bedroom into the kitchen.
I love it.
At one point. And we were like, you can do certain things. And we did messy play with food bits. And it's so hard and it's navigating it. But if you can come up with, you know, your children better than anyone know your children, and you know ways that you can try and not manipulate them, but work them.
Mm.
It's about mold.
To their own personalities.
Exactly.
Basically.
You've got to adapt as a parent, haven't you?
Yeah. And I think sometimes the guidelines and advice I give out, I struggle, because obviously I do give out the guidelines based on evidence.
No, but it's so important that you do that. Yeah. It helps so much.
But I also want parents to realize that you can pick and choose those. Mm-hmm. Like, some of those aren't going to work for your child and your personality. Mm-hmm. And you've kind of highlighted a lot of that today, but you might find other ways that do work for you. And do you know what? You know, go for it.
Yeah.
I think one of the things I also wanted to ask you is there's obviously a lot of opinions out there. And when you know, you kind of touched on it earlier, when you share yourself on social media, there are a lot of opinions. Did you struggle with that when it came to you sharing, you know, Renalia's like being slightly fussy or being off food? How did that impact you? Was it positive, negative?
Yeah, I do think the positives 100% outweigh the negative, but I don't think it's in the human brain to not sometimes pick out the negative. Mm. You know, 100 people can tell me wonderful things about the way I am as a mum. And but then the one person, it can go. But I do think since having children, I have grown this
resilience.
And also, like, I don't really give a, my children are my world and my husband's my world. He's my team. I don't really care if you're, and I also think this is my way of looking at it, and it might not be for everyone. I really do believe that we've all had different upbringings. We've all had different food given to us and all these different things, that you might trigger something in someone that brings up a negative
emotion
and a negative memory. And I think that I trigger people, and I have to remind myself that that's okay.
Mm.
Like, they don't have to like me. Mm. Not everyone has to like me. I've always been at school told I was too nice and all these things. And actually, I tried to change that, but that's me. Mm. And if you don't like it, that's fine. Do I think we should give each other hate and send that on social media? Absolutely not. Yeah. Would I wish we could educate each other and not be like that? But you don't know everyone's situation. Yeah, absolutely. You don't know what outlet they're using. Do I want to be someone's outlet? No. Mm. But unfortunately, I can't change who I am. So I will always share. And you can come for lots of things about me and I might be insecure about that, but you can never say I'm a bad mom, and I will never, I will never feel insecure about that. You do put pressure on yourself as a parent. You do, because you're like, oh, they're not eating. And yes, people did give backlash. People give backlash about her sleep. What am I going to do? I know my heart of hearts. I've done everything I can.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know that your children are safe and loved, like we said.
Exactly.
And that's kind of what you have to think about, isn't it? But it's hard. It's really hard when you are the person that they kind of attack for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But I love the way you look at it. I mean, it's amazing. You're so positive. You. Even thinking about other people who are being unkind, you're having empathy with them.
Oh, yeah. You just don't know, do you?
You don't. And it's so true.
I'd like to think that they're not, I'd like to think, so I want everyone to be happy and living their best life. But even in low moments of my life, I would never, ever want someone else to feel that
bad.
Way.
Yeah.
So you've just got to think, you just send them light and love, really.
Is that you do back?
Yeah, I normally. Or I will just block or restrict and delete their messages so they never come through again. Mm. I have to protect myself.
Oh, completely, yeah.
If it's anything that's coming for my children, though, I feel this like sense of like, my babies you know. But yeah, I have to just, sometimes I will kill them with kindness or send them light and love because I'm like, what can I do?
I quite like the kill with kindness thing.
I love the kill with kindness.
I love it because they just don't expect it.
Yeah. And I also say this, sorry to interrupt you, if those people met me in real life, I actually think they'd like me. Mm. I'm actually I actually think what you see on social media, you think is this one big thing, but I actually think even if you don't like my loudness and whatever, you'd see I'm actually a nice person.
Yeah, exactly.
So
for some people,
might
maybe
be triggered
don't
by
see
that.
But I do love that kill with kindness because I think, sometimes that people just do not expect it and they're almost like so shocked when you say something really nice back to them, but then you do also get the other way. But in terms of your opinions, did you have a lot of opinions around when Ailey is fussy eating, like lots of people giving you advice?
Yes, or, and baby led weaning.
Yeah,
a lot of it. We did a rookie, and my little one doesn't eat an apple that's stewed, but she likes her apple. I watch her. She's in safe proximity. She's with me. Mm. You know, whatever you put up, you get the police. You do get the police on you.
Oh yeah.
With my first, I do think you're more like, oh God, I've done something wrong. And then with your second, you're like, they're fine. Like, they're good.
Yeah.
But yeah, lots of people, especially around the fussy eating thing. But again, what can I do? Mm. She gets offered beautiful foods, wonderful meals that I'm very grateful we get cooked for. So...
And sometimes it's sitting and waiting it out. And I'm pretty sure, like you say, you're foodies, you eat together. So many of the things that are... wholesome and enjoyable about food you're already practicing. So,
and I think people that, like, some people would attack me for the baby led weaning because they were feeding their children purees. So what? I say it's about breastfeeding, bottle feeding. I really don't care how you feed your child. What I'm doing for my children is what I'm doing for them because they're me. They lived inside me. They are part of me. I know them. So we should all just be less judgy. I don't care. Not that I don't care.
Especially
I don't want any
around
child
food.
In. Yeah.
There's a lot of judgment on food and sleep, I think, in the parenting space. And I think that can make it really hard. Because like we said, we already berate ourselves. We already feel guilty for so much. And then there is so much judgment about what we're doing and our choices. And I find that really hard.
As long as they're eating.
Yeah.
And they can, and you know, you will get those foods into them. And but honestly, I know I say it all the time, but without your... kind words when I had Renee, I don't know if you remember, you probably wouldn't, but I did voice note you saying about how difficult I was finding it and oh goodness, she's not eating anything. And and I remember thinking that was why she wasn't sleeping. So I was like, she's going to bed hungry. It's not that.
Yeah.
Trust me, it's not that. It's just her brain is
wired. Exactly.
But you were so supportive and it helped me so much feel less alone. So I'm hoping anyone listening to this or anyone ever listening to the podcast from Charlotte does realize that it's from the horse's mouth. Like, she literally knows everything about this space. And, it's my friend. She's a teacher. She can control a classroom. Mm. Her kids, she says, they don't listen to her. Mm. So it's just that. It's that you're in your own space. Mm. But just know that it's just such a, it's such a minefield. It's just a minefield. That you're navigating it well. Yeah. The fact that you're even looking into it and looking at books and finding out the relevant resources.
Do you know what? Sometimes I say that to people. They write to me and I say, look, you've obviously read up about this. You've done enough. Mm-hmm. Like you've done more than a lot of other people just by reading up. Mm-hmm. By asking this question, you're showing me that you're already doing enough. Yeah. Don't worry. And I so want to say that to parents because you can see these parents who really care, who are really worried and they're trying everything, a bit like me and you, you know, you with the sleep and me with Ada being really unsettled. Mm. We're trying everything. And you, like you say, you said right at the beginning of this podcast, you're already doing enough if you're doing that just by giving them love and support and just trying.
Exactly.
It's making me emotional.
Oh,
now.
See? Can't be around for too long.
I love it. So what I was going to ask you, if you could give one piece of advice to other parents around food refusal and based on your own experience, this is completely your own, what would your one solid piece of advice be?
I know it's so easy to say this, but just try to not put pressure on yourself. The fact that you're offering them the food is an amazing thing. They've got food in front of them. So just try, for me, elevating that was just me thinking everything was just going wrong and oh my goodness, they're not eating. And actually when I just took a step back and was like, she's going to be fine. She does eat, whether it's at nursery, whether with her granddad, she does eat food. Mm. She's eating. She's, like I said, she's not malnourished. They are very lucky to have this food. Don't put so much pressure on yourself. Yeah. It's one of those stages that you're in the thick of it and you will come out of it.
Yeah.
And when they eat those foods again, honestly, I think they do it to us so that we feel this elevation. Because now Renee is starting to eat I'm like, oh, she's eating this food again. And it's beautiful. So just remind yourself of that. Find ways that you can mold them. You know them better than anyone else. Mm. Maybe see ways you can stretch them a little bit. Is it getting them involved with the cooking? Is it bringing certain utensils to the table? Getting them, giving them choices, giving them, different things all on the plate. Maybe something that they will eat. And just going with it. Mm. I can't really give much more advice because I just think you know your children better than I ever do. But for me, I found ways to work Renalia and I feel like we're coming out of it and it's a beautiful thing. Mm. And just with everything in motherhood and parenthood, don't put so much pressure on yourself.
Yeah.
Easier said than done, because I do it every day.
Yes.
But if you can try to just walk away from it and take a small win, whether they ate some grapes, wow, that's brilliant, grapes.
Yeah.
Put some fruit in a smoothie, brilliant. Yeah. Add some veg into it. I used to hide avocados in it. Now Renalia loves avocados.
Yeah.
You're getting it into them.
Yeah,
get some flaxseed, get some things that have good fiber in them and you can hide these things.
Yeah.
If they eat one thing, if they eat the porridge, if they eat one thing, they ate that food today.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. So it's that positive, take the positives from it.
Yes.
And also I love that you said that Renalia is really coming out of it now, because I feel like that just really showcases, doesn't it, how sometimes these phases last a long time, don't get me wrong. And sometimes there's lots of things that you can do to help it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, now do you look back and think, oh, wow, I get it now. That was a phase. I was in the thick of it and it was really hard. Yeah. But in hindsight, what do you think looking back now? And would you have done anything differently? I think that's a tricky thing.
I would probably have, I would have put less pressure on myself, but I probably wouldn't have. But I don't think I'd do anything differently. We rode it out. Mm. We stuck together as a team and that was really important. Mm. Even if sometimes Spencer would have a little bit of an opposing view to me, we would make sure that we never showed the kids that, because they love the control and, you know, you can't give that to them.
Yeah.
But I just really believe every stage is just, I always believe this, like even with newborns, toddlers, teenagers, every stage brings difficult moments and beautiful moments. So even if they get, you know, they'll get food in them. And I think it's just a really difficult stage, but I'm so grateful that, you know, even my older brother, my older brother would never eat any meat unless it was in a curry sauce. So my dad used to make us roast beef, roast turkey, roast all these, you know, foods, gammon. My older brother would never eat it. My older brother now eats everything. So,
and you love the pies.
And I love a pie. Does my husband make pie? No, we're slacking on that. But he's not a pastry chef and it's fine. But I'll tell him to make a pie. You can roll a pie. But yes, we all come out of these phases at different ages. And I try to really, I think that's my personality. I really do just try to take the positives with the negatives.
Love it.
And I know it sounds annoying and I don't want to be that person, but it's the only way that I get through things. Because I'm like, every day, even when, you know, you get splashed with the water, bird poos on you, get these things. Sometimes I'm like, well, it comes in threes. I've had my threes now. Something good's coming.
Yeah, I love that. You know, I love the positivity.
Yeah, I think that's just my nature. So I know not everyone can be like that. Yeah. But if you can try and just take something positive, the fact that you've got the food to feed your child, what an amazing thing.
The gratitude.
Yes. But yeah, completely. I practice gratitude every day. And I do think we sometimes just get so het up with something, such a...
feeling negative.
Yes.
Or, yeah.
That we just forget the life around us.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds so preachy.
No, no, not at all. I completely
agree.
We
do, don't
we? I think we really do. And especially when you are in the thick of it, you know, working, a working parent who's busy, who feels like their to-do list is never ending and you feel really overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. It's so hard to step back and go, actually, I'm really, really fortunate to be in this position. And I try and do it a lot more now as well. Yeah. It does really help.
It does.
Perspective.
Yes, it does really help, I think. Because sometimes you can just, the lower you feel, the more negative energy you feed yourself. And the more you feed yourself saying, they're not eating this, they're not doing that. I feel like we send these energies out to them. And I do feel like they thrive on it sometimes. Toddlers are just, they're a minefield in their own.
Oh, they're soaking everything up as well, aren't they? They're soaking up. That's why, again, you know, I love that you talk so positively about everything and about food. And, you know, because your kids will be picking up on all of that, all of your positivity around food and mealtimes and enjoying food, they'll soak it in.
Yeah.
Even if that's not right now, in years to come, exactly like you've, you know, shown with your dad, you know, he cooked you all these foods. You didn't necessarily like all of them.
No.
And you've talked about things like exactly the same as my kids, scrambled egg.
Does she eat it now?
She eats it now.
Oh,
she doesn't eat loads, not like Raffi, who will gozzle it, but she eats it. Same with porridge. And my son loved porridge. So I was like, I'm not going to stop offering you porridge. I'm going to keep offering you the porridge. And he would never eat it. And now, again, small bowls, because she is very much a little eater, but she'll easily finish off her small bowl of porridge.
This is it.
But it's sometimes that,
like, we'd sometimes grate carrot really small, really thin, and mix it in with the oats.
Yeah, love it.
She would get something in, I'd be like, she tried a little bit of carrot.
She's got some carrot, you know, in there.
Even if there's not enough, the flavors that they taste are building those taste buds and hiding things in sauces, you know. And if you have to cover it with cheese, but they still eat it.
Yeah.
They ate the meal.
There we go.
This is what I say.
Take it as your win.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, this has been so amazing. Honestly, I have loved it so much. Before we go, I am going to do a very quick, I'm not sure how well you're going to do it, this quick fire round.
Okay, I'll just say one answer, I promise.
I love it. So, quick fire questions. What is your go-to dinner to make for the girls?
Salmon, avocado, rice.
Love it. Oh my gosh, that sounds delicious. What is your favorite food hack that saves you time?
We cook at lunch for dinner.
Love
but we
it.
Have the luxury of being at home.
Okay.
So I know that. But we do prepare meals now. We
in advance.
Used to. Yes. Love it helps
it.
So much.
Yeah.
Freezing meals.
Yeah.
We need a bigger freezer. But freezing meals has helped so much.
Amazing. Yeah. And I have to say, when I had two and I wrote my third book, How to Feed Your Family. Oh my God, it was a game changer, because I just didn't really use my freezer well enough. And now, you know, I always have something in the freezer that I'm like, right, I can get that out. Yeah. It's been a game changer.
Especially in the summer, just really quickly going off, you know, speaking too much. But in the summer, when you want to spend longer days out, but you don't want to have to go home to cook, it's such a wonderful thing to be able to know. You can defrost something. It's there. I think definitely batch cooking and doing as much preparation as you can. Yeah. Preparation is key.
I love it. Yeah. Love it. Last one. What is a food that you wish you all ate more of? And I mean, you have a very varied diet, and I can see that. But so it might be a tricky one. But
pies.
Pies. Love it.
No, I don't know, because they eat. We have lovely things. We have lovely things. So I don't really know. Maybe I wish. No, we even do lots of vegan meals as well. We don't have meat every night. We do lots of things with lentils. I don't know.
Everything. I mean, you eat a really nice variety. So.
Probably more oily fish.
Okay.
More oily fish.
Thick.
Yes.
Love
that's
it.
More oily fish, because Renee doesn't really eat it. Used to eat it a lot. We'll come back round, but more oily fish.
Yeah.
Because I eat it a lot in pregnancy and don't eat it much now. But it's good. Very good for you.
Yes, it sure is. All those omega-3s that
exactly,
we need.
Exactly, we need them.
Well, this has been amazing. I think so many parents will find this reassuring. I love it so much. I'm going to do a follow-up episode, which will talk very much about my kind of advice and tips around fussy eating, so that parents can listen to this, get the real reality, and hear you talking so honestly about how you feel and how it was for you. And lots of parents, I'm sure, are going to really, really resonate with that. I'm going to follow up with lots of tips and advice and all the evidence. But as we've said throughout this whole thing, I really want parents to feel that it's okay. What you're doing is okay. So honestly, I'm so grateful for you coming
on.
It's
amazing to have you to go to for the advice that we need.
Hopefully.
No, it's brilliant. Hopefully. And thank you for having me.
You've been incredible.
Loved it.
I cannot thank you enough.
We could have talked for hours.
We could.
We've got to wrap it up.
Yeah, we've got to wrap this. Thank you so much for listening to my chat with the lovely Imogen. I really hope you found it relatable and useful. And later this week, I'm going to be sharing my top tips and my expert advice when it comes to fussy eating and what to do when it rears its head in your household. So don't forget to subscribe, like, and of course, tune in. Thank you to my sponsors of this podcast, Little Dish, who make delicious kids' meals and help to make family life and feeding kids less stressful.